This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. There have been roughly 70 crashes in Cincinnati involving vehicles and pedestrians in 2019. That stat comes on the heels of 2018 being marked as having the most pedestrians struck in a single year in the past 5+ years. One incident in 2018 involved 13 school children on their way to class. Can something be done to make the city's streets safer for pedestrians? One city councilman thinks so. He's proposing that the city adopt Vision Zero, a strategy to eliminate traffic fatalities and injuries by increasing pedestrian safety. So what does that mean exactly? Let's talk about it. Joining Cincinnati Edition today are Cincinnati City Councilman Greg Landsman. Welcome, Greg.
Thanks for having me.
All Aboard Ohio At-Large Director Derek Bauman. Welcome, Derek.
Greetings. Thank you.
And WCPO Transportation Reporter Pat LaFleur. Patrick?
Always a pleasure to see you, Michael.
What are your questions or concerns about pedestrian access and safety in the greater Cincinnati area? Join the conversation today, 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter, and we will find your comments and tweets and try to get some of those in the show as well. I want to start with the backstory that prompted this exploration of a Vision Zero policy before we get into what Vision Zero means. Dozens of pedestrians have been struck by cars on Cincinnati streets. And Pat, you've reported extensively on this. What have you found that seems to be at the root of this ongoing problem?
Well, before I jump into that, I will say that the statistic 70 crashes involving pedestrians, that was actually just through March of this year. By now, it's actually almost doubled that. We're up to almost 140 crashes involving pedestrians.
So that indicates that just in the past couple of months, you've had as many as you had in the first 3 months.
Yes. Yeah. So the numbers are accelerating. And I think that probably partially has to do with the weather getting warmer. More people are out on the streets walking. So there are some sort of circumstances that play in just seasonally.
Well, how are those numbers calculated then? I mean, what constitutes a pedestrian struck report? I mean, is it someone who is transported to the hospital? Or are we talking about a bump?
Sure. So the numbers that I've pulled in my reporting have come directly from the Cincinnati Police Department's open data portal. Now, some of that data can be a little messy and require a little bit of refinement. Sometimes there are duplications of report entries, but these numbers are purely based on police reports that are filed for crashes that involve pedestrians. So these people are not necessarily injured. They're not necessarily transported to the hospital, but a good number of them are. Since 2013, we've had roughly 40 fatal pedestrian-involved crashes where the pedestrian was killed due to the injuries.
And that's just in the city?
Yes, that's just in the city of Cincinnati proper.
And
so as far as the root, kind of the root here, there really is no one root to this problem as far as I've been able to ascertain in my reporting. But maybe there are two that stand out to me as some of the biggest. One would be the rise in usage of smartphone technology and how that relates to distraction, both behind the wheel and when people are walking through their neighborhoods. You know, it's just as common to see someone glancing at their phone from behind the wheel as it is to see someone walking down the street, kind of looking at their phone, maybe not paying attention to when they're approaching a crossing. And then the other factor that I would say plays into this more than most is sort of the rise in, especially when it comes to serious injury and fatalities, the rise in SUVs as becoming the most popular and common type of vehicle that consumers want to purchase. SUVs are a totally different animal when it comes to striking a pedestrian or a cyclist than, you know, your standard four-door sedan, because the hood is so much higher. The likelihood of pinning someone down to the ground and running over them versus having a person kind of flip over the hood or land on the hood instead of being crushed by the car, that plays into kind of the seriousness and fatality rates as well.
Councilman Landsman, you're looking to have the city adopt this Vision Zero policy as an answer to this problem. What exactly is Vision Zero? I've looked through the document that the organizers of it have produced, and it's I don't know if it's as revealing to you as it is unrevealing to me. There's a lot of language in there I don't particularly understand, but mm-hmm. Why don't you break it down for
sure.
us?
Sure. And, you know, Vision Zero is something that other cities have adopted, many cities, and it's really been a policy that's been driven by the community, Derek and others, who have recognized this this issue, and know ultimately that it's going to take a comprehensive approach to reducing and ultimately eliminating fatalities related to these accidents. So in the last six months, there were four fatalities. So 172 pedestrians were struck in the last 6 months, four fatalities, which means that, you know, it's likely that we'll see 8 to 10 people killed this year because of this issue. In the last 3 years, it's 21 people. And Children's Hospital is known now as one of the best hospitals in the country, in part because they adopted something similar in that they said, look, we're going to be the best at getting better. We're going to use data, all of our resources. We're going to bring people together, and we're going to start to try all of these things that we need to become really good at everything we do. And at that point, they had about 15 what they called serious safety events a year. This is when a child was killed or seriously injured because of something that went wrong. And obviously, the number they wanted, the only acceptable number, was zero. When it comes to traffic fatalities, the only acceptable number is zero, which is why it's called Vision Zero. And what they did was they worked in a very data-based way to start aligning their resources, their people, to things that were going to have a real impact. And they are virtually at zero now, Children's Hospital is. And over the course of 5 or 6, 7 years, that's 60 or 70 children that are here because of that work. And so what we envision is the exact same thing around pedestrian safety. And so Derek can explain it a little bit more, but that's the high level explanation, is saying we're going to have zero fatalities, and we are going to have serious leadership dedicated to this. We're going to use data. We're going to work with the community. We're going to have a comprehensive plan, and we're going to work that plan until we get to zero.
513-419-7100 is the number to call. Derek, you represent the All Aboard Ohio organization here today, and that organization supports this initiative. Why?
Well, All Aboard Ohio started out as a public transit advocacy nonprofit here across the state of Ohio. And we see over time all of these things kind of coming together, especially as you know, over the years, there's kind of been this return to the city, and this all plays a part. You know, we've for the last 50 or 60 years really been designing our streets in the city of Cincinnati for the maximum amount of traffic flow, of car flow. That's how the streets are measured. And so we've seen streets like Liberty Street and Over the Rhine widened, or we have Hamilton Avenue and through Northside and College Hill. Business districts, but it was two lanes in each direction with, you know, very high speeds, working to move commuters out to the suburbs as quickly as possible. Since, you know, really our car culture took effect in the 50s, that's how cities have, you know, gotten away from designing our streets and our transportation system for people. And it became just about the cars. And so I think what we're seeing is a sense, not only here in Cincinnati, but really across the nation, as we see our cities and we want to encourage people to move back here, and to do that, they have to be safe. And of course, I was a police officer for 26 years, recently retired, most of that time with the city of Mason. And, you know, we think of a city like Mason as a safe city, but yet I was going from crash to crash to crash, seeing all of these injuries and fatalities. Really, what it begs the question, what makes a safe city? If we have children being run and others being run down in our streets, it doesn't matter, unfortunately, whether it's a bullet or whether it's due to a car. There's just, I think, been a real kind of push, a grassroots from our neighborhoods, as we see across the city, this, you know, this going back to this notion of being able to safely push a stroller down to the neighborhood, a business district, coffee shop, and to be able to do that and make it there and back safely is really a big part of the resurgence and future growth of our city if we want to attract people here. Safety on our streets is not just about it's not just about crime. The traffic impacts are a huge portion of that. And so we're seeing from neighborhoods across the city of Cincinnati, you know, people are calling for this. And Vision Zero then ultimately is a model to kind of bring all of this under one roof. We've seen, you know, pushes for road diets here. We've seen folks talking about, well, we need more traffic enforcement from the police department there. And somebody else says, well, you know, we need an educational piece. And what's going on? We don't even know what you know, they took the driver's ed out of the schools. Do we even really know what's taught in driver's ed these days? So there's all of these different elements, and Vision Zero is really a model and a framework for saying that this is a very complex problem. We've seen this 50% increase in pedestrian involved crashes in Cincinnati in the last 5 years. It's complex. There are many causes, and so there is no one silver bullet answer, but we need a comprehensive plan to really attack this from all angles.
513-419-7100 is the number to join the conversation. We can check out the phone lines now. We have Larry on the line. Hi, Larry. Is Larry there? I'll put him on hold and we'll try to get him situated. The Vision Zero Network suggests that the traditional approach to traffic enforcement or traffic flow in city policies suggests that traffic deaths are inevitable, that it requires perfect human behavior, that it's only designed to prevent collisions, and that there is individual responsibility and that saving lives is expensive, whereas the Vision Zero idea is basically the opposite of that, that traffic deaths are preventable, that a human failing can be integrated into the policies, and that fatal and severe crashes can be prevented, that there is a systems approach rather than individual responsibility, and that saving lives is not expensive. But I'm looking at the setup.
Can I jump in real quick? Because I think that's – I want to go back to the children's example, because that is – you know, Children's Hospital sees more than a million patients a year. And so the idea that, you know, 10 or 15 children could be irreversibly injured or killed because of just human error was for some a while ago, and in other hospitals, sort of this inevitable thing. Right? It's just, you know, it's going to happen. And what they said, and what we're trying to say here as it relates to pedestrian fatalities, is no, it's not. There is a whole host of things that we can do to fundamentally change it. But it does require being comprehensive, being very strategic, being very data-driven, and continuing to work it. The problem in these hot spots all over the city until you get to zero.
We'll have more on our discussion of Vision Zero, plus your phone calls, which I believe are working now. We've got a few in line. We'll talk more about Vision Zero and how it may be able to help reduce the number of vehicle pedestrian crashes in Cincinnati after a short break. And later, the impact of the Girls in Government event at Cincinnati City Hall and a local eighth grade student, plus the social justice positions of British author Virginia Woolf, is the focus of an international conference coming to town next month. We'll preview it. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. 2018 broke a recent record for the number of pedestrians struck by cars in Cincinnati. And already this year, dozens more walkers have been hit. Is a Vision Zero policy the approach needed to fix this growing problem? We'll continue now with Cincinnati City Councilman Greg Landsman, All Aboard Ohio At-Large Director Derek Ballman, and WCPO Transportation Reporter Pat LaFleur. 513-419-7100 is the number to call to join the conversation. Let's go to the phone lines now. Larry is on the line. Hi, Larry.
Hi, how are you today?
We're doing well. What's your question or comment?
Well, I drive around all day, every day, and vehicles do not stop at crosswalks anymore for people. It's unbelievable how many people just drive through. A person standing, waiting to go across, they can't, people won't stop. So I don't know if they're just not teaching that, you know, in driver education anymore or what, but it seems to be a problem that needs to be addressed.
Larry, we appreciate the comment. We'll hang up and let the panel address this. I know that some crosswalks have all the signs they can handle hanging above the road, flashing lights. Others do not. And so there seems to be maybe mixed ideas by drivers about what they're supposed to do. Do I stop at this crosswalk? Do I yield at this crosswalk, Pat?
Well, I've done some recent reporting on this as far as how drivers are educated, both in Ohio and Kentucky. And what I found was that if, let's say that you are a new driver, you're in your mid-teens, you're getting ready to go in for that driver's test, the majority of people don't go through a formalized driver training school like something like AAA might offer. Most people simply study the driver's manual that the state provides, and then they'll go through a few hours of on-road training before they take the test. And when I was looking through the Kentucky and Ohio driver's manuals, the amount of space that those manuals give to issues surrounding encounters between different types of vehicles, whether it be an encounter between a pedestrian and an automobile or a bicycle and an automobile, less than a page in both out of 70 to 80 pages of other content relating to maneuverability and other sorts of traffic laws. So the focus in driver education on how to interact with other types of vehicles is very minimal. So I think that speaks volumes as to Larry's point that it seems like some drivers just don't know the rules, and that might be a factor there. Another factor, though, is that the laws surrounding a pedestrian's rights on the road are really complicated. And I've done a bit of reporting on this as well that, you know, for instance, some drivers might not know that any intersection of two streets, whether there is a marked crosswalk or not, is still a legal crossing. So the pedestrian has the right of way as long as they've stepped into the road with, you know, it's the legalese for it is a reasonable amount of time, which is also very vague, but typically between 100 and 150 feet of space when the pedestrian steps out into the roadway, that's typically enough to give that pedestrian the right of way. But then again, that's another sort of calculation that drivers and pedestrians have to do on the fly in the moment. So it's really tough for law enforcement to get a clear picture of what actually happened in the event of a crash. So to the caller's point, yes, drivers might not know what the rules are, but at the same time, those rules, the pedestrian might not know, law enforcement might not be clear on what exactly needs to be enforced in that moment. So it's a really difficult problem.
This is one of the reasons why we have taken the steps we have, which is we passed a comprehensive motion that said, look, the city's going to take on four things. One, we're going to put somebody in charge of this. And now we have a pedestrian safety director, Mel McVeigh. She's been working on this for many, many years and can be that clearinghouse where we bring all the data and the best practices that include all of the work that we have to do to better inform both pedestrians and drivers as to how to avoid these issues. And then two, increase enforcement because we know speeding is a big, big issue. Three, improve the engineering, traffic calming work that we're doing. So more money into curb bump outs and better crosswalks and broader sidewalks. For implementing Vision Zero, which is just a huge part because it just goes to the root of all of these various issues. And then five, leveraging new technology. And part of the issue is that we banned over a decade ago the use of red light and speed cameras in the city of Cincinnati. So if you're in Columbus, for example, you don't turn red right on red because you're going to get a ticket. And that's not the case here. And it's the same, you know, in certain places in and around the area where you don't speed, like Elmwood Place or Terrace Park, because you know you're going to get a ticket because they use this technology. It would require charter change on our part, which I think we ought to do. There's an emerging consensus to do that, so that our folks, law enforcement, can enforce these rules and save lives.
We got an email from Sarah about sidewalks specifically. She says, Cleveland and Columbus set aside funds to repair sidewalks. Why won't Cincinnati make this a priority? The response that they are too expensive is inconsistent with the city's goal of being greener and safer. She says she's the mom of a kindergartner who has to choose between driving a half mile and walking a street with no sidewalks.
So I'm 100% with Sarah on this. And I mean, you know, I'm on council in large part because I want to be part of making Cincinnati an infinitely better place for children and families. That's my passion and my focus. And so sidewalks, it happens to be a big issue. And because if you don't have sidewalks or a city that's willing to invest in sidewalks, it's not as good of a place for kids as one would expect. And so we did fund sidewalks, and now we don't. And a large part of that is because we have allowed our infrastructure budget to be decimated, and we are running on empty, so to speak, in terms of our infrastructure spend. And there are things we can do, including these speed cameras, because the money has to go to pedestrian safety efforts, including investing in sidewalks.
Derek, it seems that a lot of times when new developments are coming online or new businesses are opening in any pocket across the region, that the first concern that might be expressed from people is that, well, where are all these people going to park? How are these people going to impact my commute? The focus from the public seems to emphasize the car. What can be done to put more of an emphasis on pedestrian access?
Well, I think that's a great point. And certainly, as I mentioned previously, you know, we live in a car-oriented culture here, and not only in Cincinnati, but in the U.S. in general. But I kind of sense that notion changing these days. There's becoming more of a focus on, and for a number of different reasons. I mean, some folks are concerned about, you know, climate change and the impacts of that. But I think this concept of truly safety and safe neighborhoods, when we have over 40,000 fatalities, hundreds of thousands of people injured in the U.S. every year. In Ohio, it's over 1,000 fatalities, traffic fatalities. And to Greg's earlier point, I don't think we have to accept that. It doesn't have to be that way. But we have to be very purposeful about this. And so, you know, I think it's just this notion is starting to change. I think the general public and kind of the grassroots is present company excluded, been ahead of our elected leadership here in Cincinnati over the last 5 or 10 years. And so I see people calling for this stuff, and we see even Vision Zero, to get back to that, can apply not only to a city like Cincinnati, but to smaller jurisdictions as well. It's talking about what makes sense for this community. How can we keep people safe and make this a great place for people to get around and enjoy all of the things that we have to offer, and ultimately do that in a way and support it in such a way that is not necessarily dependent on the car. If you have to drive, if you choose to drive, that's fine. We want you to do that in a very safe way. And for those in the city of Cincinnati, it's over 20% of our households don't even have cars. We need to keep these folks in mind, because typically we design a street, it's 8 or 10 lanes across, great for the cars to fly through. But what about grandma that lives there? And she has some mobility issues, and she needs to go down the street because she doesn't drive, and get her groceries and make it back and be able to cross that street safely. These folks need to have a voice as well. And I think that's really what's bubbling to the surface here, and it's the people that are demanding this change.
All right, I think we've got time for one more phone call. Let's go back to the phones. Jeffrey, you're on the line.
Hi, this is Jeffrey Walker, and I live in Pleasant Ridge. And my thought is, what about the pedestrians? We talk about the cars and what they can do. I have a lot of people, and I live near Montgomery Road, but I'm not on a main thoroughfare. And I see people walking down the middle of the street. So pedestrians also have a responsibility. I've asked a couple people that the sidewalks aren't comfortable, but believe me, on our street, we have really good sidewalks, and we just had work done on our street and our sidewalks. This is just something I never understood, is why people decide to walk in the streets.
And Jeffrey, we appreciate your point very much. So,
Jeffrey, I just real quick, I completely agree. I mean, we all would. And so, like, part of Vision Zero and the work ahead is education and changing behaviors. And so, you know, we have to change the behaviors of drivers and pedestrians. And I'm both, you know, like I drive and I walk around. And so the big thing for me is to pay attention at all times, which is hard with the smartphone, but you just have to put it away.
I want to thank Councilman Greg Landsman, Derek Ballman, and Pat LaFleur for joining us today for this conversation. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Coming up, an international conference about British author Virginia Woolf is coming to town in a couple weeks. Why Woolf's social justice stances are the focus. And next, a member of Cincinnati City Council wants more girls to know about their potential to serve in government. We talk with her and a local eighth grader who took part in the program. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.